The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. No, it's not it. It's 189. See? Yeah, I did it again. 189. Hope you've made the switch. Sirius, if that's how you take it. Well, if you take us into Sirius, you've already made this switch.
Yeah, you have.
But if you're listening through other means, the other ones that I just mentioned, just know that if you think about going to SiriusXM, it's 189. Glad we got that out of the way. Still to come, Crack, Unscripted, Bill Krakenberger, and then Mike Reardon from Right Angle Sports with a live college football release. Cleve TA standing by. I just want to read a few tweets here before. Patrick Kelly says, forget great, I just want to be decent. Congratulations, Justin. Talking about Justin Emery,
yeah,
who we highlighted earlier on the show. He says, when does Tankabalooza come back? He was curious. I guess that's a Kawhi thing. Or a Clippers thing specifically. Schizo360. People always forget the wins, but remember the losses. Not me. I've tailed many a winning bet from Gil. Very much appreciated. P.S. I can't see your tennis plays on VSiN. I am a pro subscriber. You know, I put those in later than normal last night. So I wonder if that is. But anyway, on the show here earlier, Bonzi on the men's side, Putin Seva on the ladies' side.
And the great Andrew Maxwell's all over. He's getting them up there now.
Thank you, Andrew.
If they're not there.
Drew Maxwell, who right. I think the nickname I'm workshopping is Cornbread, as a tribute to old Cedric Maxwell. No?
Yeah, no, oh. I like it.
Okay, what was going on there?
Nothing.
Okay. Kelly's reacting to other things, and then I'm asking Kelly on air about his reactions. I shouldn't do that. Kenny Dillingham Sexual, if that is your real name. Value on Sanchez? Haven't been following this market since Wheeler blanked the bed on me. LOL. There's not value on Sanchez. There really isn't. Miz is allowed to have one bad outing. He's first in Major League Baseball in everything. What are we doing if he doesn't win the Cy Young? Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, last time this man was on the phone, and we love him. He's one of our favorite guests. But last time it was on there, we talked about his free, I want to say it again, free 2026 NFL preview guide. And then Kelly Bidley over here tried to make everything else he did free. Do you remember that?
That's right. Yes, I did.
So what he does. Yep. It's Cleve TA, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Cleve, what's happening?
What's up, guys? Yeah, Kelly's my marketing agent, and I'm probably going to have to fire. It cost me too much money, I think. But no, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's looking forward to the season. So trying to get all my accounts ready and, you know, all my fantasy drafts done and all my survivor stuff ready. So it's a great time of year.
Okay. So let's go through that a second. How many fantasy leagues are you in? How many millions / survivor entries are you going to do? Break it down for us.
Yeah. So I tried to reduce my fantasy leagues. I'm in, I think four now is my limit. And really it has nothing to do with money or anything else. It's pure camaraderie. And it's the, you know, one time a year I get to get together with some old friends, and that's the only reason to have that, you know, those drafts, to have that connection. So that's why I do that. I've got some local survivor pools, and I've got five circus survivors. I've got some, you know, some of the splash entries I haven't submitted yet that I'm going to do, the big one. I've got two Circa Millions, one that I split with a group of guys that I've for a number of years, and then one that are my own. So, and then there's all sorts of other contests and pools that I'm not even thinking about right now. So there's a lot to remember.
Okay. With Survivor, you at CleveAnalytics.com, you have a Survivor Optimizer. And you are, it feels to me like you've done three different waves of additions to this summer. Can you sort of describe all the different things you can do on the CleveAnalytics.com Survivor Optimizer?
Yeah, and I keep adding stuff on just because things keep popping up and I have suggestions and I try to add as much as I can for people. But yeah, so you can go and the first thing you do is you select the pool type. So you can, you know, obviously our Circa Survivor, you've got the different, you know, splash sports ones, and then you just have a standard, you know, your local 18-week pool. And if you've got double weeks, you can select, you know, which weeks are double weeks. So you kind of, you know, and the number of entries, right? Number of contestants. So you kind of format it to whatever pool that you're looking to join. And then, you know, you go through, you know, you could just run the optimizer as is, but, you know, and it'll give you a full season path as to, you know, best options. But there are a bunch of different features. Like if you want to lock in specific teams to specific weeks, you can do that for any week. So like, if you think that, I think the Rams on Thanksgiving maybe, or you know, whatever, you know, holiday weeks, for example, you just want to lock in, you know, for sure you want to take that team, or like Seattle plays Arizona, I think in week nine, you know, that might be the largest spread of the season. Like you can go ahead and lock that those teams in and then run the optimizer that way. You can, you can look at maybe week 18. We know week 18 is obviously a coin flip, whether it matters to teams, whether it be a tanking team or a team that, you know, is really good, that's just going to sit all their starters. And so you don't want to burn, you don't want to save a team that you can use early in the year for something in week 18 that may not matter. So you can click on a button that says keep week 18 open and run the optimizer excluding week 18, which I think is a neat feature and can really change some of these paths that you see out there. And then the last thing that I really like, and a lot of people are interested in, and it's the big secret sauce with any of these huge survivor pools like Circa, is the, you know, projecting the public pick ownership for each of these teams. And so my algorithm, you know, projects the weekly, you know, public pick percentage. But if you want to go in and play around and give your own, you know, your own projections, you can do that and see how that affects the different options that pop up. So those are the things that I think are pretty interesting. You know, you can click on different teams in the matrix below that shows you like the entire season and the win probability by week, and then where they rank within each week. So there's a bunch of different things we hear I have on the site for you.
That is super cool. So just to do it through the prism of Circa Survivor, Circa Grandissimo, you could, Thanksgiving. I mean, the games of the Thanksgiving quirk, they're so competitive. I don't know who you would lock in, but let's say you had conviction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say you said Rams over the Packers. I don't know, right? So you lock in the Rams there. You lock in your Christmas as well. Then let's say with the Chargers gauntlet schedule coming, you put the Chargers in, let's say, week one. And then you could layer all that other stuff on top, basically, Cleve. So in other words, then you could do you could put all of it in the same sort of search. The part about the percentage of, you know, most likely for the other, for the rest of the pool to be picking in those other weeks.
Yeah,
as
you
well.
Can. Yeah, you can lock in like multiple teams, multiple weeks, and then, you know, see how that affects the entire path. Right. And you can say, all right, maybe I don't like that team anymore on Thanksgiving. Let me try this team instead. And just kind of you do a lot of trial and error. And I think that's what this is about, is seeing how one change can affect the entire path. So, you know, it gives you that option. Again, I have a matrix below too for the entire season. So you can see like, all right, if I don't want this team on Thanksgiving, what are the other options? You could sort it by, you know, current win probability too. So it gives you like an idea of like, all right, now I want to go back and use this team instead. So again, it's a lot of work, but it's fun. And it's a puzzle that is impossible to solve easily, but we do our best. And that's really, the idea here is, and you can save your entries too, by the way, so you don't have to keep coming in every time. You can save up to 25. I have to 25 beautiful entries that you can save as well. So you don't have to always every week, you know, go and redo everything. And cause you're going to select which teams you've already used as you go along. But they'll be saved. So you don't have to keep reselecting. So, and I'll add features. If you have any more suggestions, like feel free to message me. I got buddies who are like, who love this stuff and like, hey, why don't you try this? And I'll keep adding as much as I can. But I think it's something that if you're in a small pool, like a local pool, I think you've got a gigantic advantage with this. If you're in Circa or like one of the larger pools, or at least you're in the game, right? Like you're trying to be in a level playing field with some of the more sophisticated groups and syndicates that are using like real programs to map this stuff out. So at least it gives you a shot.
And just to be clear, the Survivor Optimizer was something that Kelly was trying to give away for free last time, but it is not free. How much is it for the Survivor Optimizer?
So it's $99. You know, you just go on the website and subscribe. So I think for what you can get out of it, you know, it's pretty good value. Dude. And I also will, it's not just the optimizer. I do write up and I'll start in a few days, kind of the different options and just the different considerations. Cause I do think it's more than just pure numbers. Like the math, there are math guys that only follow the win probability and the value. I also do think there are, you know, some nuances where you should understand maybe the you know, potential injuries, like different things that can affect one team versus another, different considerations. So, you know, I'll have that qualitative aspect as well.
So last thing on Survivor, because I want to get to week one thoughts and maybe some season-long awards here. Obviously, the awards are season-long. Then what would the week one Survivor Optimizer pick be based on the least amount of specifics that you would put in?
Yeah, it's going to take the Chargers are the top pick. I think now we've got about mid-30% projection for the pool, which gives you, you know, pretty good value on the Chargers. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, try to be contrarian, try to, you know, a lot of people are going to be on them. But, you know, if you're in the mid-30s percentage, it's actually not that bad.
That's
for a
true.
Team that is substantially higher from a win probability than a team like Jacksonville or the Lions, who you're going to want to save because there's so many options in the future. And I'm not a big Jags guy. You know, we could talk about that. But, you know, to me, the Chargers might end up being a pretty valuable pick in week one because of that. But there are other options, and it gives you a backup option one, backup option two, for example, you know, if you want to go ahead and see how that works out as well. So, you know, you could pick at least three different options in week one, you know, other than the Chargers and see what happens to the rest of your path.
Do you really think only 30% will be on the Chargers? I would have had it way higher than that, like 45 to 50%. Not 50, but 45% I would have had. 30% is low.
So this is more art than science, right?
Yeah.
This is more art than science. It's really hard to know. But, you know, I think if you look at any other public, and again, there are other really good sites that give you, you know, good projections. I think they're all in the mid-30s. So I think kind of mid-30 to 37% is a fair number. You know, a lot of people will talk themselves out of it because, again, it's just so much discussion about holding teams back. I think that you get a little bit more contrarianism than you should be.
Hang on.
But you never know.
Hang on, Cleve. We'll finish that thought on the other side, and then it's season-long thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, match betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with a free guide at ungambled.com/VSiN. That's ungambled.com/VSiN. Use promo code VSiN for 10% off. Bet sharp. Look square. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Cleve T.A., kind enough to join us for a second segment. By the way, Cleve, C-L-E-V-T-A, on the old Twitter machine. CleveAnalytics.com is the website that houses the Survivor Optimizer, also gives you the free downloadable, if you will. Is that a word? Downloadable? I believe it is.
Sure, yeah.
The free downloadable.
Yeah. You have the able to download it.
NFL preview guide as well on the site. Cleve, let's get to week one, because you're not a one-trick pony. It's not just about Survivor. You're obviously betting these week to week, as we all do. You're in contests. You also kind of come to Megapod and talk picks with us. Week one, what excites you? What have you bet so far?
Yeah, this is actually a relatively light week, light week one versus history. I'll probably get some more down in the next few days, but yeah, the only thing I have really are totals. I've got one is gone. I took the Philly Washington under 47.5 like 3-4 weeks ago. And I heard Drew was on a couple of days ago. I know he likes that one. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, Fezzik, by the way, you got to have to give him a hard time. He gave out 46.5 last Friday on your show, like way too late. Well past the key number of 47. He would, if that was anybody else, you know, he would give them a hard time.
He'd murder them. He'd kill them. Hey, yeah. Fezzik a hard time. Sure, I'll do that. I like that. Okay.
So that's long gone. So I'm not going to, I wouldn't give that out anymore. I do like a number that's still out there. Detroit, New Orleans under, I got it at 50.5 2 days ago. It's trending down a little bit. You can still find, I think Circa has 50. I have this at 48. So I think 49.5, 50 is fine. Like, to me, I'm not buying the Saints as like this juggernaut offense out of nowhere. You know, you're talking to someone who was touting Tyler Shuck rookie of the year halfway through last year at like 200-1. So I watched like all of his snaps in the Saints at the end of the year, and he was fine. But look, they faced the single easiest schedule in the NFL to end that year. I mean, the only team that he faced as a starter that was a winning team was the Rams, and that was his first start. They lost like 34-7. Faced five bottom 10 EPA pass defenses. Like, he padded his stats a lot against some bad teams. And so I'm not really buying this as like this resurgent Saints offense. I think Kellen Moore is a good coach. I think one of the things I've seen out there is, pace of play is going to be really fast. Well, they were number one in the NFL last year in pace. Like, so that's already baked in. It's pretty much the same set of receivers as he had last year at the end of the year without Jordan Tyson. Like, if Tyson was in there, it might be a different story because I think he could be explosive. But I'm just not buying the Saints team as one that I want to back in the 50s. And then, you look at the Lions, Jared Goff has actually really struggled historically in week one after not taking any preseason snaps. He's done it three times as a Lion, and they've gone over their team total all three times that's happened, actually under his passing prop in all three games. And you look at his EPA in those first weeks when he did not take any preseason snaps, you're talking about like games in the 12th, 15th, 17th ranking of the season. So some of his worst games of the entire season have come in week one. And I think they're going to be more of a run offense, run heavy offense under Drew Petsick, who came from the Browns, came from the Cardinals. He likes multiple tight end sets. I think they're going to try to establish the run a little bit more this year and not, expose Goff to a mediocre offensive line. So I do think it's going to be a little bit more run heavy from that perspective. And, I just think that, I'm not ready to buy the hype on Shea as like this ascending quarterback. He's going to be 27 years old.
Yes.
People have to remember. I think the when he came out, the reason he dropped is because, his ceiling was capped at that age. So I'm just not – we've seen it before. We saw it with Jaden Daniels last year. We've seen it with C.J. Stroud. We saw it with Carson Wentz a number of years ago. Like, it's not just a linear path up in year two just because you had a good rookie year. And I don't think he's in that elite category. So I think he's going to be more of a flat line to trending negatively. Starting in week one.
You and I are aligned on a couple things. We're aligned on Caleb Williams with passing yards this year. We are aligned on Tyler Shuck too. One of the more bizarre things I've heard this offseason is a seemingly widespread love for Tyler Shuck. And you pointed out, I've mentioned his inaccuracy down the field. Once you get past 20 yards, he's a really inaccurate quarterback. But you mentioned something that I think needs to be emphasized again, which is he is older. He's 27 years old. When you are that age, maybe your floor is higher, but your ceiling is lower in terms of progression, right? In terms of improving. So there's that.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. Like, where quarterbacks, when the older they get, the kind of the less value they are from an NFL perspective, that you're essentially, this is who you are. This is kind of your ceiling. And we see that with Bo Nix. Bo Nix is similar in that fashion. It's hard for him to take that leap. He's just kind of who he is. And so I think you could see something similar with Shuck. And if you look at, what I try to do is isolate, true drives. Like, actually, how often did you get the ball in your own territory, drive length of the field, and score? And so last year in that second half resurgence, they got a lot of short fields. Their defense created, generated a lot of turnovers. Fifth highest rate of drives starting in opposing territory with Shuck. And so if you strip that out, like, his points per drive on kind of length of the field drives was one of the worst in the NFL. So, there's a little bit of noise when it comes to, how he performed at the end of last year. And yeah, they added Travis Etienne, who I think is overrated. He struggled last year, but I just don't see this offense being, this isn't the greatest show on turf here.
Yeah. So this is under 50 in this game. You went under in this game. Is that the bet?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, and since it is a Saints Lions game and we just picked on Tyler Shuck, can you do one of my favorite Cleve TA sidebars? Is at any point in any season, right? It comes up, it flares up. It's like a virus that flares up once a season. People start to talk about Jared Goff as an MVP candidate. Can you give us the Cleve TA talking points on why this will never happen?
Yeah, he'll never get the full credit for any, outstanding offense. Like, we've seen the Lions have been a top five offense a number of times. He's put up monster stats. I think he led the league in passing a couple of years ago. Like, mm-hmm. It's just, and he's just never received any credit. And I don't think he's even gotten a top five vote.
He don't get a sniff.
I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know what it would take for him to win MVP. You have to, you have to get like, you know, set an NFL record, I think, for touchdowns and have Jahmyr Gibbs not be the reason why the offense has been unlocked. But it's almost impossible for a guy like him to win.
Yeah, I should never say never, but it's almost impossible. 5,000 yards or something.
Yeah. One seed with a one loss or something. Yeah. Maybe he's in the mix then, yeah.
Okay, speaking of season-long awards here, I know you – listen, we lean on your parameters for these awards all the time, Kelly and I, during the season. Is there one award – maybe you've talked about one already on the show, but let's go with one you haven't. I can't remember if we did or not. But what's an award you want to seize on that you'd like to talk about that you've made a bet on?
Oh boy, I'm trying to think of the last time what we talked about. I do think Aiden Hutchinson, along with that, we were talking about the Lions. I do think if he can play all season, not get hurt, I do think he's still valuable. I think, you know, obviously after Myles Garrett, he's the guy that I would attack from a defensive player of the year standpoint. Like if you strip out 2 years ago, he was on pace for like 25 sacks before he got hurt and was knocked out for the season. If you remember that last year, I had a really nice season. I think they're going to be facing, you know, they've got the easiest schedule in the NFL. So they're going to have the lead a lot. He's going to be able to kind of pin his ears back. And I think he can rack up a lot of sacks. And look, as great as Myles Garrett is, he is, you know, getting up there in age. He's going to be 31. Aaron Donald coming back, I think, is going to affect him. Like, is he going to get all the credit if this is like an elite top five defense, or is Donald going to take some of that away? You know, that could be something. You know, it's really hard to go and top what he did last year. So I think it's going to be really difficult for Myles Garrett to win it again. And then you've got Will Anderson. Will Anderson's on the best defense in the NFL, but he, you know, his numbers are not as, you know, elite from a sack perspective as you'd think. So I do think Hutchinson has a shot to win it this year if he can stay healthy and if that schedule ends up being as bad from an opposing quarterback standpoint as it looks.
Yeah, and we just flashed up again one of the things you get with Cleve and Kelly and I. Again, we lean on these all year for defensive player of the year. You got to have 11 sacks. It's almost always a defensive lineman. It's almost always from a playoff team. And Aiden Hutchinson would check all three of those boxes, one would think, with the Detroit Lions this year. Mm-hmm. Hutchinson third in the market behind Myles Garrett and Will Anderson Jr. Aiden Hutchinson plus 750 to win defensive player of the year. So once again, it's CleveAnalytics.com. The free 2026 NFL preview guide still there. Still what, 6 days away from the beginning of the season?
One of the best out there. You got to go check it out. If you're still working on your prep work, you need to go check it out.
And really digestible. A lot of people look at other preview guides and are like, it's too much for me. Cleve's is not that way. And of course, the Survivor Optimizer as well, as we talked about. That part, not free, but well worth it. Cleve, can't thank you enough, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Cleve T-A, C-L-E-V-T-A on Twitter. One of the great NFL followers.
Absolutely.
Period. Coming back. How about a live college football release from Right Angle Sports' Mike Reardon? Let's go. He's got some splaining to do on FSU. Let's talk about that, too, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Derek Stevens, Shangri-La in the desert. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets beating the book. Buddhist man, he just said, good Lord, we've made a mess of the tennis picks on the picks page.
It's a too many cooks in the kitchen situation. Yeah. Everybody's trying to get some things fixed.
It starts with me putting him in later, and I think that caused havoc. But one of the highlights of the tennis picks page right now is that apparently I have both Putintseva and Zhang Xinwen in this one match where they play each other, and they're both huge plus money. So that's awesome. Again, the picks are Bonzi on the men's side, Putintseva on the ladies' side.
We will keep repeating them here.
That's right.
And like you say, best listeners in the game, right? I can't believe how many tweets, how many emails I'm getting over
it's
this.
It's so great.
Bill Lady's losing his mind downstairs trying to help us figure it out. It's comical. And I got a shout out for the next show. Promo for Prop Points coming up next. Adam Schefter joining John Hanson. That's a good one. Good one coming up here in just a couple hours.
Schefty. As the cool kids call him.
That's right.
Patrick Kelly said the tweet earlier was about Justin Emery doing excellent numbers and logic to go from good to great, and that I just want to get to mess. So please give me some more of those fantastic betting strategies from him. One being, I believe, the brain dead Tankapalooza. Oh, okay, that's he was explaining his previous tweet.
Yeah,
you got it now.
Love it. Love it. Go check that out at VSiN.com. Great article by Justin Emery. It might be on my list of next book on the show. It's Pablo Torre, and then it's Justin Emery.
Let's get Pablo on. Let's get Justin on.
Yeah, waiting on that text message.
From Pablo?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll text him. Jim Campbell, as a subscriber, I love the betting guides. Do either of you know if there will be one for the NHL this season? Do we do an NHL betting guide?
Unlikely, is what I'm going to say. Actually, no, that's not true. We did last year. Didn't Jonathan Davis do one last year?
I think we did.
Never mind. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. Who am I asking?
I think it was just on the site, right? I think we put it on the site.
Now you're asking me too many questions.
Yeah.
Mr. Drew Fitty, Gil's play for Zhang today is the wrong price or listed as the wrong one. Okay. Can this be clarified? Okay. He goes, of course, it was a bad day yesterday. But, you know, sports. Yeah, it was. Rules for society. Hey, gents, are we sure that corruption doesn't infiltrate everything we do on a day-to-day basis? From the planes we board, to the fuel we purchase, to the sports we love, it seems like it permeates everything these days. Pretty depressing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, probably true. Mark Meltzer highlighting Joe Pita's appearance doing Prediction Market 101 earlier this week, covering the basics for that a better would want to know. So he's highlighting that. Thank you, Meltzer.
So good.
Joe was great. And Vegas Vice, whoever's posting the tennis picks for subscribers must have had a rough evening. Yeah, he's pointing out I have both Putin Seven and Zhang at plus 235. Patrick Kelly also adds floor higher, ceiling lower. Sounds like safe escalator riding guidance as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, he is here to release a college football play, but I want to have a broader discussion about college football beforehand. It's Mike Reardon from Right Angle Sports, kind enough to join us on this Thursday. Mike, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on after last week's FSU release.
Yes, which didn't go well, which brings up a broader question. It's only one play, but it brings up a broader question, which is, because I had Todd Wishnev on earlier this week. We had Todd Wishnev on it, and we got in this whole, you know, Todd's very big on, he's an in-game guy versus a pre-flop guy to begin with. But he pointed out, and I agree with him, which is, you know, what do we really, we say this going into the NFL season, what do we really know? College football, more than anything these days, right, with all that goes on in the world of transfer portals, is probably harder to wrap your arms around than anything now. And then you see the power rankings, and it's hard not to let the average person, it's hard not to let that seep into your brain as some kind of truth. Do you find that it is a harder world to deal with now in college football, specifically through the lens of power rankings?
Well, absolutely. It's never been harder to rate a team for the upcoming season. You know, the way it used to work, I've been doing this for about 20 years, and, you know, I've had my mentor has been Ed Golden for obviously the whole time. And I've spent a lot of time reading the work of Dr. Bob. I used to, the great Dave Malinsky, I used to spend time reading his stuff, watching his stuff. Even Alan Boston, crazy Alan Boston, loved watching his stuff. And anyway, the old model used to be, let's look at last year's rating. That was kind of our anchor, whether it was the program rating or just the general rating for the team last year. And then you adjust, like how many starters are back? What do the returners look like? How many guys did they lose to the NFL? And it was always, don't move too far. Let's not overreact and then just make subtle adjustments, you know, a few points up, a few points down. And, you know, that kind of changed in 2024. As soon as we had unlimited transfers, you know, it used to be you had to sit out a year. Once you could transfer pretty much every year, and once you could start getting paid and go wherever they're going to give you the most money, that just absolutely changed everything immediately. Basketball used to be the sport you could win immediately at. Like if you John Calipari 10 years ago, if you dropped him into any school, he's going to get two or three great players and it's basketball. So that's good enough. You know, he'd be a top 10 team immediately. Football, it was always, it takes time. Frank Beamer, I grew up in Harrisonburg, Virginia. My parents taught accounting at James Madison. Frank Beamer is always the story of like, give the coach time. He was 6 years in and he was 24 and 40. He went 2-8 in his sixth year and everyone wanted him fired. The president wanted him fired. Some reason the 80 stuck with him and, you know, they ended up going to 23 straight bowls. So that was always the stick with it. You know, Phil Steele always talks about third year, the coach has his guys, he's developed them. They've, you know, whatever you redshirted, you've been in the weight room. That was how you built a program in football. It took time. Now, once, you know, what Cignetti did from James Madison to Indiana, he brought about 20 players over to kind of be the core of his first team there. And they obviously made the playoffs, which is incredible. Indiana, I think they were the first team to lose 700 games in Power Four. So you could say they were the worst Power Four team ever. He took them to the playoffs and obviously won a national title last year. You know, he's done amazing things. And pretty much what Cignetti has done has sped up the timeline for all fans and athletic directors. And so what he kind of started, and I'm not saying my partner Jeff coined this term, I'm sure someone else has said it many times, but he calls it the lift and shift. And so what's going on now is you see this with Golish at Auburn. He took a lot of his offense from USF to Auburn. And then what you see at Oklahoma State, you know, Morris from North Texas there, he took a bunch of the offense, Messemaker, some receivers. And in that case, Oklahoma State, we've got them about 15 points better power rating wise than last year, which is insane. He brought about 88 transfers in. And North Texas, they're down 13 points, obviously, because they lost a lot. So anyway, what it comes down to is last year's rating has probably never been more irrelevant, but sometimes you want to look at the last year team of another team to check the rating of your this year team.
All right, Mike, the time we've all been waiting for. Let's put up the procedure once again for those who forgot how this works, the Right Angle Sports release procedure, which Steve Fezzik always loves to do with any of his picks. What do you know? He stole it from them. Mike is going to give us a game in college football. You're going to add the bet to your bet slip. Before you bet it, though, right, we'll give you 30 seconds to find the bet. You can put it in your bet slip. 30 seconds, we'll just hem and haw for 30 seconds. And then Mike will say go or cancel. If he says go, bet it immediately. If he says cancel, it is not a bet. You'll remove it from your bet slip. We'll start the whole process over again. Do you like process or process?
Process.
Me too. I don't know why I said process right there.
This isn't England.
All right, Mike. Your Honor, what do we got?
Yeah, so the first bet that we will put in our bet slip for a possible bet is 177 North Texas, Indiana over 55.5.
177 is the rotation number, old school. North Texas, Indiana. I don't know if you know this, Kelly. They're the defending champs. Over 55.5. Now, you're not going to bet it yet. You're putting in your bet slip. I just want to say, as we're stalling here for people to put in their bet slip,
I think Fernando Mendoza is going to have another big year.
Are we just going to act? not there, he's not. We're going to act like Mike Reardon's chair is not like Star Trek.
Oh, he's got a sweet gamer chair, man. It's better for the back.
William Shatner. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is definitely better for the back. I used to sit in these theater seats, and all of a sudden, my back was shot. We've improved the seat. It maybe is not great for TV, but that's what we're doing right now, Gil.
So. Okay.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great office chair. I like the other ones, though, with the Reardon group on there. That stuck out to me, too.
Okay. I think we've given everybody enough time. Again, in your bet slip now, 177 North Texas, Indiana, over 55. Mike, what's the dealio? What are we doing?
177 North Texas, Indiana, over 55 is a go. Bet North Texas, Indiana, over 55.5.
Go! Everybody go, click it on. And now we watch the Christmas tree move. I think FSU went from 31 to 32, lickety-split last week. We will see where this over the North Texas-Indiana game goes here in very short time. Want to give some words on why exactly for 45 seconds, Mike?
Of course, Gil. Yeah, so, you know, we to say the most obvious thing, Indiana is going to do most of the work here. But the good news is Cignetti loves to score as a big favorite when they've been favorites of 28 points or more. His teams themselves have averaged 56 points per game. They're 12-4 to the over. Indiana 6-1 to the over in these situations. 8-3 to the over in the second half, which just shows you in these overmatch situations, you know, Cignetti keeps his starters in and absolutely puts the, you know, hits the gas. He's absolutely willing to kind of run it up. And he likes to keep, you know, excellence going at all times. Yeah, Cignetti, four straight JMU quarterbacks who have conference player of the year. He's got Hoover this year, insane arm talent. So I think he's going to fix the turnover problem. North Texas has got some injuries at the cornerback position. Jenkins, Johnson out for the year. Canada, been the best cornerback in camp. Worth keeping an eye on his status for this week. And then anything
thank you, Mike.
UNT does is a bonus.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let's not sleep on the Average Joe contest. Edge boosts Average Joe contest, puts you in the same pick 'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational, the Humans Invitational, the one the pros play. Top Average Joe earns a spot in next year's Circa Invitational field. It's free to play, and you can register anytime during the season. Edge Boost is offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for the week. Don't have an Edge Boost account yet? Sign up at edgeboost.io with promo code VSIN and fund. Well, there's a typo there. And make sure your account is funded with at least $100. We added a word.
And have fun funding.
That's right. Enter the contest today at VSIN.com/Joe. That's VSIN.com/Joe. Not only do we get tweets, we get texts. Bill 80, VSIN founder. NHL guide on the site, not PDF.
I got it right the second time.
You give Kelly Bidlin two times to get one thing right. Kid does it.
So not a full guide. It's on the site.
That's right.
Yeah. We're doing the same things last year. Okay, got it.
Okay, the Mike Reardon right angle sports release went from 55.5 to 56.5 and then to 57.
Do I have a 57.5 yet on my board? Let's see.
Hanging tough at 57.
It's hanging tough at 57, yeah.
Now, Christian Wilhide on Twitter says, the DraftKings line moved to 56.5 before Mike said go. Laughing emoji. Now, what's the reason
That's funny.
Is because people don't believe that we're going to do a cancel. And one of the tells there is that we were too close to the end of the segment. So I think some people were like, oh, they're not doing a cancel. And so they jumped the gun.
Oh, this is like my favorite.
So we got to do the releases earlier in the segment.
It's a good call. That's a good call. Because Gil and I knew there wasn't going to be a cancel. So yeah, it's a good call. It's kind of like when you watch, this was always my favorite. You know, I used to be a big poker player. Poker on TV always like drove me nuts, though, because you're like, all right, it's final table. We're down to the final two.
Yeah.
It's 9:58 p.m.
That's right.
Next show starts at 10 o'clock. Uh-oh, this guy's going all in.
What do you think's going to happen?
What do you think's going to happen?
That's like the I think I bring this up once every few years. When Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson were feuding at the height of the Cowboys dynasty. And there was this, oh my God, there's a press conference. Is he going to be fired or is he going to stay? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And Jimmy Johnson comes out in a suit. And I'm like, he's gone. It's like a tell on everything. Right, he's not wearing a suit if he's still the Cowboys coach. Fred Leonard's on Twitter. Random question, but would you have any idea how a proxy service would handle a customer that rebuys into Circus Survivor after having lost on the Seattle or Rams games next week? Thanks. I don't think there's any strangeness to that. You would just go to the same proxy and give him another $1,000?
I don't know what the exact question is that he's asking.
Do you mean because it would require...
I think,
oh,
yes.
Because you've already signed up.
Yes.
And you've gone through that process. Yeah, I went process that time. You've gone through that process, so you're wondering, could they just add it to your... Or would you have to sign up a second... I think what would have to happen is you would have to sign up again, going through the whole process again, but maybe using a different username for your newer entries.
Oh, man. Okay, so
that's my guess.
I was checking over the rules yesterday just to confirm like the deadline, because I haven't signed up yet.
I don't know if you know this.
There were a lot of details in there about it, so I would really encourage you to go read the house rules for the contest that's in place. That is an interesting question, though. I had not thought about it that way. I mean, it is,
but people have done this. It's not like you can't do it. So it's just a question.
Totally. Yeah. No, it's a good question. Just one that Gil and I can't
There's
really
no
answer.
Riddle involved. Mm. Yeah. That's my guess, but Fred, I would ask the authorities.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to be planning that way, right? And then lay all 10 on those Rams Seahawks or something like, one of those early games that not have a chance to rebuy if that was what your plan was.
Yeah. All right, let's recap the bets on today's show, because crack is coming up at the top of the hour. Obviously, the two tennis plays today. if you're looking at VSiN.com/picks, it's completely obvious. The picks are on the men's side, it's Benjamin Bonzi. Zach is on Benjamin Bonzi as well, he told us. I didn't know that. +123 versus Ignacio Bousset. And then on the ladies' side, big dog Yulia Putintseva, +235 versus Zhang Xinwen. I said hi to Yulia Putintseva at Indian Wells. She was just chilling in the lobby.
I remember that.
Nobody knew who she was. She's 20th ranked player in the world.
Gil did, though.
I'm like, hello, Miss Putintseva. She was like, oh my God, somebody recognized me.
Did you go up with one of those comically big tennis balls? You're like, can I get your autograph?
No, I just kept it moving. Because it's Yulia Putintseva. If it was somebody else, I might have hung tight. Also, Red Sox 0-2 to start the month of September. That's not good. 28-1. But the Blue Jays with an 11-0 win yesterday behind Dylan Cease. Really, it was that they just botched a bases loaded situation in the second. What was like a 6-0 game should have been a 1-0 game. Blue Jays go on to crush the Guardians 11-0. So that's good for our +23/+25 most wins in September. And then, of course, Caleb Williams, passing yards leader, 20-1. Nick Benito, defensive player of the year, 14-1, sir.
NFL week one bets for me, Jags, Jets, 6-point teaser. Jags, Texans, 6-point teaser. Bucks, Bengals, under 51.5. Broncos, +3.
Okay. I should also mention on the tennis, we have Carlitos to win the men's side at +175. He's down to +135. We have Iga to win the ladies' side at 7-1. She's up a set here in round two already this morning. What did I leave out? Daniil Medvedev to win Q3 on the men's side at 7-1, looking pretty good. Amanda Nisimova to win her quarter on the ladies' side, 4-1. The one future we did lose was Krejcikova, long shot to win her quarter at 14-1. Zach with his tennis plays, in addition to being on Bonzi with me, he's on a few dogs beyond that on the men's side. Alexei Popperin, +126 versus Alejandro Tabilo. Jan Leonard Struff versus Francisco Cerundolo, the good brother, Cerundolo.
Yes, the good Cerundolo.
And Dalibor Cercina, +128 versus Luciano Darderi.
Okay, there's got to be something wrong with our system or something. So, yes, these are Zach's plays, because Zach has also just texted me informing me that the Darderi play has showed up on the site at plus money as well. So be careful. He's on...
Oy vey.
Cercina, is that what you just said?
Cercina, yeah.
Cercina.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Cercina, not Darderi. Cercina, not Darderi.
This is a mess. It's a mess this morning.
Yeah.
John Balduzzi, right angle chest coat. If you're listening to Sirius, you're about 30 seconds ahead of streaming services. Oh, that's what could be at play. Jason Stark said the same thing. Hey, Gil, don't think it was a problem when released. I think it was the listening medium. I'm on Sirius, and I got the number fine. He's peg on delay if watching on the app. So then we have a Sirius person saying, no, Sirius XM 189 is actually good. The app is the one that's behind.
Well, you know, we just got to have all these potty mouths come on this show, and this is why. We got to put these delays in. Delays and delays and delays.
Have I mentioned y'all are the best listeners ever? Any format of radio ever? Mako, Shades of Mako. Good way to punish the early goers would be to go, would be go oppo on the play, like prepping over, then telling people to go under. Oh, so instead of cancel, just oppo. I think Fezzik does that as a joke when he does his as well. And then John Yu, another factor in right angle sports lines moving before the plays are heard on the broadcast, is that different methods of listening, yes, to or watching VSiN have different time lags. Well, we can do our part and do them earlier in the segment. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Zach.
Hey, it's week two for us.
Yeah.
Beginning of the season, right?
It's week one. It's not even week two.
That's right. It's week one.
That's right.
Because we still call things week zero for
some reason. Zach also, with his college football plays, Miami-Stanford tomorrow night. In Palo Alto, over 47.5. Tulane, +9.5 versus Duke. And then in one of the bigger marquee matchups of week one, LSU, -10 versus Clemson. Zach bringing it strong this morning. And then, of course, the right angle sports play. Let's not forget what we were talking about. North Texas, Indiana was over 55.5. But once again, that's already up to 57. I probably should have asked the question also, not being in midseason form.
Cut off point.
What should you play this until?
It's a good call.
But right now it is hanging tough, as New Kids on the Block used to say, hanging tough at 57.
Hey, if you were interested in the Indiana side, that number, that hasn't really moved. And the laying 40 points a little bit better at a total 57 than 55.5.
What week one bets? So week one, you've only made the two totals play so far?
NFL?
Yeah. NFL, pardon me.
College football, I'm in on this, by the way.
I am in on this,
I'm
too.
I've got one other circled, but we're having dinner with this gentleman tonight. I need to confirm it before I end.
Oh, right. Randy McKay.
The old Randy McKay.
Yeah. Randy McKay, who barged into the studio. You're not allowed to barge into the studio, by the way. Only Randy McKay's allowed to do it. But he barged in, and Randy McKay was like, hey, here's a pick, but don't say anything.
Exactly.
So I will confirm that tonight, and then we'll talk about it.
Week one NFL. Yeah, I've got the two teasers in, one total, one side. So Jags with the Jets, Jags with the Texans. And guess what? If the Texans end up being favorites in that game, I think they close favorites. I'm going to be teasing up the Bills side, too, and hoping to middle that. Bucks-Bengals under 51.5 is the total I've bet, and then Broncos +3 at -120 against the Chiefs Monday night, which I really like that.
I don't necessarily care about being on the same side of something as some people in whatever sport you're handicapping. One of the guys, though, that I really like love if I'm on the same side of is Cleve.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was happy to hear, first of all, my Caleb Williams top passing yards. He, like a few days ago, was like, I wouldn't hate that play at all, like randomly. He didn't even know about mine. And then this morning, our opinions on Tyler Shuck sort of jibing. I was like, thank God it's not just me.
He randomly hated on the Jags, too, on Twitter brought up these. And then he said it on air.
Randomly.
Well, I don't know if that was random or not. He might not like my Jaguars week one plays.
Bill Krakenberger, unscripted next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.